Good morning.
Thank you.
Welcome. Great to see you all. Wonderful to be back home. I just returned from the UK. We returned from the UK. And I can honestly say I was happy to come home. I even prefer driving on the right-hand side of the road. I never, ever thought I'd hear myself say that. It's true. Oh, Ray, what have I done? Ray's shaking his head back there. Okay, here we are, once again, in chapter 8. From groans to glory. Groans to glory. We're living in the year of the Lord's favor. Before I start, it's all right to say amen. It's all right to encourage me a little bit and join in. So I like that. So don't feel that you can't say anything. You're free to do that. So we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, it means Christ has come. He's defeated death and hell. He died, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again and made a public spectacle out of Satan and the demons. And he took back from Satan what he stole from Adam. And he gave gifts to mankind in the train of his robe. As he was risen, defeated death and hell, he sent his Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a seal, as a mark that guarantees our inheritance in Christ Jesus. And Paul recognized this. After Israel lived in centuries without the presence of God. The presence of God has been restored. And we're now living in the year of the Lord's favor. As some have described, as nearly, but not yet. Nearly, but not yet. And I'll go into that phrase a little more detail later on. We can enjoy both the present blessings and look forward to our future inheritance as children of God. That means we're heirs of Christ. We were prisoners to sin, but we've been liberated from the slavery of sin. Liberated, friends. We've spoke about it in the chapters before. We're no longer prisoners to sin, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in freedom. We can walk in freedom without fear or condemnation. And through the power of the Spirit, we can choose not to gratify the sinful nature, because we've been delivered from it. We've been delivered from it. We've been born into new life. Born into new life. It tells us nobody who's born of God will continue to sin. I'm not saying we're sinless, but we have been totally delivered from that bondage, and we've been liberated. And that is who we are in Christ Jesus. But we're in this time of nearly not yet. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. but we have the power to walk in the Spirit and not gratify the sinful nature. And out of this became one church. Paul is speaking to the Jews and Gentiles how Christ God had predestined one church, one God, one body, one church. And that's the same today, friends. And ICS, this international church, is a great reminder of that. That we all come from different parts of the world, different denominations, and perhaps different theological opinions. But there is one church. One church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there's no longer the division. Christ has broken down them walls. And this is what he was explaining to the Jews and the Gentiles. And living now in times of prophets long to live in the year of the Lord's favor, between Christ coming to earth and sending his Spirit, and before he comes back, friends, we have a mission.
Hallelujah.
To shine for Jesus.
Amen.
To tell a dying world of the Lord's favor. Amen. And he empowers that through his Spirit in us.
Hallelujah.
And all we have to do is to remain in the vine. How does a branch remain in a tree? We're plugged in, friends. We're plugged in. Whether we feel it or not, we're plugged in. But we still groan inwardly as we await full liberation from sin's corruption, its decay, its death, as we look forward to future glory and the full redemption, which is new bodies, new heaven, and a new earth. Total redemption. Starting chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. That we share in his suffering. Friends, do not think something strange is happening to you when you suffer. When you're suffering, you're not alone. Christ has gone before you. The prophets, a whole cloud of witnesses are cheering you on. Don't think something strange when we face various temptations. God is working out his plan in our life. Don't pray, deliver me from it. Embrace it. And count ourselves worthy to suffer along with Christ Jesus. Because if we're going to inherit his glory, we will inherit his suffering. How many times I've prayed, oh Lord, deliver me from this. And God's saying, I want you to go through it. Because I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you through the fire, through the water. And to go through these things, we become Christ-like. God uses our circumstances of life for good, even when Satan means it for bad. We're adopted into God's family. And we have this wonderful privilege. I spoke a few weeks ago about calling God Creator Daddy. That intimacy that we have been adopted into his family. And when Paul was talking about adoption, don't want to labor the point because I've gone over it. It means you have full right and access as a true son. And when Paul was saying this, people understood what he meant. It meant your inheritance is assured. Your inheritance is assured. The Holy Spirit confirms we are God's children. Streams of living water flowing through us. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We have a knower within us. It's better felt than telt. How can I experience how we feel? And how can I share that? But the people that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have that assurance within them. And it's a knower. Not Noah's Ark. We just know. Because God assures us. His Spirit testifies with our spirit. And I'm not talking about touchy-feely friends. But that's part of it. God created us with emotion. And He connects to us through that emotion. So we could share in His suffering as well, in His glory. The Holy Spirit is God's provision for our godly living. Not only does it empower the child of God, it assures us of our position in Jesus Christ. This sonship, that we are heirs, sons and daughters of the living God. And suffering isn't separate. It's part of it. And it's essential to the glory which is to come. And we shouldn't think we're receiving punishment. The enemy will have you think God has rejected you. He doesn't like you. Or you wouldn't be going through this. That's a lie. We only have to look to Jesus, what He went through, what Paul went through, what the disciples went through. We shouldn't think it strange. We should delight in the privilege of sharing in Christ's suffering. We need a heavenly perspective with regards to suffering that we share in His glory. We have an inheritance that can neither spoil, perish, or fade. And we need to comprehend that this is temporary. And the eternal is permanent. We need strength to endure. Whatever we're facing, God is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Even if our emotions condemn us, God is bigger than that and them. Creation groans. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In hope, friends. In hope. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Present sufferings. They're so real. They're so tangible. And they are. But they're not permanent. I'll say that again. They're not permanent. The truth of the matter is that they're temporary, short, and momentary. They just seem the other way around. We need to change our perspective and look at things through eternal eyes. But that's difficult, friends, isn't it? It's difficult. But that's why God has given us His Spirit. Scripture that gets quoted all the time, no eye has seen, no ear has perceived what God has. And the very next verse says, but the Spirit has revealed it. I hear the one quoted without the other. But the Spirit of God has revealed it. Intimacy. I spoke about it. Intimacy. The closer we come to God, perhaps we get a little nervous. But God has sealed us. God has marked us. God is our Father. We can call Him Daddy. What an intimacy, the God of all creation, we can call Daddy. And it says, you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit to those that ask. A new heaven and earth may seem intangible and distant, but the truth is the opposite. They are permanent and true. This whole world is going to be rolled up like a scroll, and everything's going to be made new. The disproportion from suffering to glory. It's part and parcel of it, friends. And we need to learn to embrace that. I need to learn to embrace that and not run away from it. Not think God is punishing me. That I'm sharing in His suffering. And suffering here, I do not think the Apostle Paul is speaking about struggling with sin. I don't think it's relevant to this chapter or the previous one. But I will not labor this point, as my passion for you to experience full freedom might be mistaken for arrogance. And that's not my heart, friends. That's not my heart. Certainly the corruption and decay of death that sin brought through Adam is real. We experience it. I buried my mom last week. It was wonderful. It was really wonderful because she knew the Lord. The hope of glory. She knew the Lord. 89 full long years. Death is real. And we all have experienced it. If not with our mothers, we've experienced it with friends and family and somebody close to us. But death is not the end. God is the God of the living, not the dead. Death. It's not the end. Paul goes on later into the chapter to talk about hardship, about persecution, about famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword. For your sake, he said, we face death all day long and we're considered sheep to be slaughtered. Friends, there's martyrs all throughout this world. I think there's about 350 martyred a week. And some even close to where we live. But we have the freedom in Macedonia to praise God and to worship in this place. And I do believe we receive some persecution, but we don't face death all day long. Certainly not here. And I'm not saying some haven't, because I know some have. Birth pains. Not that I know. It might look like I'm pregnant, but I'm not. I'll get you for that, right? Apparently they're painful. But when the child is born, the pain is forgotten because of the joy. And that's how we're to look on this present suffering. Because it's temporary.
He's still laughing.
This is how creation itself is groaning. And in other parts of Scripture, we're encouraged not to lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Listen, friends. Those who are over 35, put your hands up, if you dare. Ooh, that's a lot of you. And if you're 35, you're middle-aged. I'm not middle-aged, I'm old. 70, the Bible promises us. And anything else is a bonus. And I say it regularly, and I'll say it again. The enemy will tell you, you've got lots of time. Lots of time. Relax. Don't be so radical. Enjoy yourself. Have some fun. Friends, we're not even promised tomorrow. We're not. And time is short. This isn't a game. You have one go. One go. And if you're over 35, you're over halfway. But compared to eternity, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Where are your treasures, friend? What bank are you putting your deposits in? So we fix our eyes on what is seen, on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but the hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. Paul uses a funny word here, first fruits. First fruits. He's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? He's talking about that we've been sealed, that we've had a down payment, that we've received the Holy Spirit. We've been stamped, we've been sealed, we've been marked, we've been set apart for God. And this, nearly not yet, we groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our full adoption as children of God. And that is the redemption of our bodies. That is the hope of glory. Our glorification. So when Mum died, I kissed the coffin before it went into the incinerator, and the pastor said, you know, maybe to the rest of my family, aren't you, that she's not there, that her spirit is with the Lord. Well, our spirit is with the Lord now, friends. We're seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Now that is a bit of a mystery, but we're already born again. I'm not talking about our salvation. That sealed, stamped, marked, done. But when Christ comes back, we sing about it, on that glorious day, in the twinkling of an eye, those who are alive will meet Christ in the air. Woo, friends.
Hallelujah.
That doesn't get an amen. You're dead. I don't know about you. I quite like a thrill. Imagine that for a thrill. Woo. Meet him in the air. Boom. Twinkling of an eye. Wow. The dead will rise first. Those who are alive will meet him. This body of death. I wonder if I get my head up. This body of death that we carry around with us is going to be made perfect. From corruption to incorruption. That is what Paul is talking about in this stage of nearly not yet. In this wonderful time that we're living in the year of the Lord's favor, where prophets of old longed to experience, to live in the power and presence of his Spirit, and building the church with Christ. Yes, I did say that, because we're not only co-heirs, we're co-laborers with Christ. Yes, the canon is full, but the kingdom isn't, friends. Amen. It's not. And that is our mandate. That is what we're to do. And that's what he does through us. The groaning we experience together with creation, it's not a futile or despairing, but it's one that's got full of hope. It's full of hope. It's full of hope. It says, for in this hope we were saved. Past tense. It's done. We are promised and assured, just as the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will raise us also. That is our inheritance. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. We sing it. We're encouraged in our faith to wait for what we do not yet have, but to wait for it patiently. In faith, in our full assurance of the adoption of sons and daughters of the living God. Knowing that God has not abandoned us in our sin or left us as orphans, but he has come and reached out to us and pulled us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he will do the same for us what he did for Christ. Jesus suffered, friends, and so must we. This imagery of new birth and adoption isn't a picture of despair. It's a picture of beauty. We would share in Christ's suffering, somehow become like him. Just a little brain overload, not enough RAM to take that one in, is there? And that's what the Bible tells us. It's not a picture of despair. It's a beautiful picture of our full assurance and hope in Jesus Christ. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans, the words that cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. We are not left alone and waiting or wanting in our struggles, for the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Even when we do not know what or how to pray, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groans. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Mind-blowing. The enemy will have us believe that we're alone in our struggles, friend. We're not alone. We're not alone. We're family. We all face struggles. Behind the starched collars on Sunday mornings. But God, by Spirit, intercedes for us with groans, words that cannot express. Not only that, further on in the chapter, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life at the right hand side of God, is also interceding for us. We've got the Spirit interceding for us with groans, with words that we cannot express, and Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. We're not alone. And we have a great cloud of witnesses. And my mum's one of them that's gone on before. And some of your parents and friends have, who are cheering us on. Who are cheering us on. So, the conclusion. Full assurance of sonship. We're sons and daughters. The living God. And we have privileges that we share in Christ's suffering, and we will share in His glory. Creation groans. We ourselves groan. The Holy Spirit groans and helps us in our sufferings, that we may be encouraged to persevere despite suffering, that we may understand that our suffering is not a punishment. It's not a punishment, friends. You haven't done something wrong. Christ is not angry with you. We are sharing in His glory. And we will suffer just as Christ suffered, that we may understand that we're not alone in our suffering. God, the Holy Spirit, is interceding on our behalf with groans. Christ Jesus interceding on our behalf. And this present suffering in this nearly and not yet has its reward. And it's no comparison to this temporary suffering, what God will reveal in and through us.
Let me pray.
Father God, I pray that we would gain an eternal perspective in this life. May we understand and fully comprehend that our present situation is temporary, even though it seems so permanent. Whatever comes our way, I pray that we would weigh it against this amazing gift of knowing the living God and being called by name and adopted in His family as a son or daughter of the Most High King. Along with His temporary suffering, we will inherit perfection and experience the full glorification of new bodies and our eternal kingdom. In the twinkling of an eye. Amen. We just wait as we change the slides. This will give us a perfect transition to read the Nicene Creed. And if you can read this Nicene Creed and agree with it, I would encourage you to partake of the Lord's table. If you don't know the Lord, I would encourage you not to partake. But if you do know the Lord, I wouldn't let this opportunity just pass by. I'm not inviting you to it. The Lord Jesus is. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Okay. We'll say this together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who is with the Father and the Son, is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Amen. And on the night he was betrayed, he broke the bread and he said, this is my body that is given for you. The same night he said, he poured the wine and he said, this is my blood which is poured out for you. Take this opportunity to examine your hearts. We do this in a right way. And if you have any grievance against any brothers or sister, put it right. Put it right in your heart and your conscience before God and make it right with them people, if that's relevant. After the worship team, when you've time is right, come partake.
And we're grateful, Lord, for the sacrifice that Christ made with his body and his blood. Lord, may we truly be thankful and grateful as we come to your table. We call this the communion table, Lord, and we pray that as we partake together that we might be united in fellowship with one another, recognizing the fact that there are many needs, many people here in this room are suffering various things. And Lord, may we, as a body, minister to one another.
Yes.
May we help one another, encourage one another. We thank you, Father, for the leadership of this church, for Martin and Maya. We thank you for Barry, for Donna, for Amy and Felicia. And we pray, Lord, as they meet together, as they look to determine the direction of the church, that you would give them wisdom and grace and understanding. We pray, Lord, for those who work with our young people, the youth group. We pray for those who work with the children.
Yes.
For the ladies as they meet on Tuesday mornings, and the men as they gather together during the week, Lord. For all the activities of this church. We pray that we might shine as a light for you here.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that your name, the name of Jesus Christ, would be exalted. Lord, we also lift up the government here of Macedonia. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to meet in Christ. And we
yes.
come here and not be afraid of persecution. We are aware of many brothers and sisters throughout the world that that are persecuted for their faith, that don't have the freedom to meet, and we pray for them as well, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the great love you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is coming again. We pray in his name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There will be an offering taking during this last hymn. Give as you feel it. Thank you.
Worship his holy name. Sing. announcements before. You can join us for a fellowship and tea and coffee or juice or whatever you like to drink. Is there anybody here for the first time?
Yep.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
First of all, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me to a place today where you don't know me, but I know you. And you know me in part, because together we know. So thank you. I'm a friend of Adriana from the UK. I'm here on a short visit, and I hope to be back again. It's a great place, and I've been most welcome. So thank you, and thank you, Jesus, for today.
Anybody else here for the first time? Martin.
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce? Go on, Brian.
Martin Duncan. Glad to meet you, all of you. I'm brother of Maya. This is my nephew.
Great.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I'm Matthew, just good to be here as well to meet you. I'm a friend of the Brenchleys, so just passing through.
Welcome. Have we anybody leaving? I don't think we have, but no, that's good.
What's his birthday?
Whose birthday is it?
Simona's.
Simona! Oh dear, how embarrassing for you. How about a happy birthday for you? Talk to anybody about anything that was mentioned in today's sermon, please feel free to speak to me or anybody in the leadership or the preaching team. If anybody would like prayer for anything, come and speak to us. We would be very happy to pray for you. If any of you can sing or play an instrument, not just make a joyful noise like I do, please speak to Barry, because we need you, and you'd be welcome to join this wonderful worship team, and thank you, Barry. Like Gary already mentioned, there's a lot going on in the week, and they'll be on the slides behind us. If you're not in the home group, please see Jeff Van Sickle, that's the little guy in the back. He can plug you in to a home group near you, where you can discuss what's being preached in an environment where you can ask deep questions and get joined in and plugged in. I would really encourage you to do that, to take this further. And I would also encourage you to continue reading Romans and asking the Holy Spirit for not just the liberation that he's given us, but inspiration,
yes,
and understanding and counsel and guidance, because that's what he loves to do. Please, how's Chase?
He's home. He's going through his physical therapy. I think he gets out this week,
wow,
so he doesn't have the home care, but able to go to the physical therapist on his own.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We rejoice in that. And we continue to pray for those that are sick. Remember Elizabeth Richards' father. He's quite ill. And Kelcho's aunties, and I'm sure there's lots of other people that have family members. You can email me, you can come to talk to me, we'd be happy to pray for you. So please, you're released in Jesus' name. Join us for fellowship and coffee afterwards. Amen.
Lauren.
I figured it out.
Oh, cool.
I Googled your keyboard and figured it out.
So here's your function button.
Yeah.
And then there's all sorts of options in the
library. Yeah.
So like if you want to go first and mention something, yes, you scroll down until you put in
it goes up or down by a half step.
Oh, okay.
So we have one.
This song.
Yeah.
It's the orange.
Okay.
So I played with it and I realized that we wanted to play it. So then we just have to go up. You go up. You go down. Just make sure you put it back. And then your voice,
I think it's